Hi.
Hear me okay?
Hello, yep. Doing great.
Very good. Here we go. Okay. How exciting. We're back together again on Tuesday night. Very exciting time to be with you, and this is going to be a very different kind of call. Last week we talked about self-esteem. Self-esteem is our last quality of an intentional creator. I'm going to take just a couple of moments to do a quick overview so that everybody who's visiting with us for the first time knows exactly where we are in the process. And then we're going to spend some time together this evening talking about our experiences. We've gone through these six qualities and what is happening in our lives. And then next week we start right back at the beginning with quality number one. If you joined us during this process, you get to start right back at the beginning. You'll discover, as many have, that as we spend time with each one of these qualities and the related scrolls, that we'll become increasingly hyper-vigilant in staying on track with our reading and going deeper in our lives with these principles and practices. This is like peeling away of an onion. It gets richer and richer as we get deeper and deeper into our own lives. And as we do so, we find increasing levels of peace and joy and success. So what a fun journey. I can't wait to do this again. Second of all, the office notified me today that we are just finishing our 52nd week of the Intentional Creation Weekly Calls. How exciting is this? As we get ready to take off in our second year with Intentional Creation, Og Mandino for the 21st century. We've been working with Og Mandino's materials constantly now for 10 and a half years, and Intentional Creation was a culmination of many years of research, both with the assessment and with the debriefs from those assessments, to find the needs of the people, what is happening, and to help everyone begin to understand the real secrets for creating success in their life. Well, we're getting ready to do a quick review. I want to start off with self-esteem. We discussed last week that self-esteem is caused, challenges in self-esteem, caused by three primary reasons why self-esteem can be challenged. The most common, the most pervasive, the most widespread is simply unmet expectations. We know that when we have unmet expectations, that physiologically our body can react with all kinds of cortisol and other ligands and neuropeptides in our body, leaving us feeling anxious and frustrated. We can catastrophize and feel that lightning bolt in our stomach. This creates some real disconnects with our divine worth. We go into that dark void, that left turn, that place where we've committed not to go, not going there today. But when we go there and we engage in fantasy, what it's going to be like when we're wealthy, and then what it'll be like when we go there and we struggle with things that are frustrating in our lives. And right now, today, in today's world, there are many reasons why people go here. Some of the very basic expectations. Just love in a relationship. A job that you can go to tomorrow and it's still there. A credit card that was issued to you, still having a credit line. Or a home equity loan not being yanked out from underneath you. Or the equity in your home disappearing almost overnight. Or the equity in stocks being depleted with the radical moves in the marketplace. Some of the very basics have been ripped out from underneath us. And when that happens, we are left sitting here going, this is not what I expected. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I thought by now I would be more of something, and you can list them with me. Maybe I would be more successful, or I'd be more healthy, or I'd be more financially secure, or I'd have less debt, whatever it might be, whatever it is that's inconsistent with what is in our lives. And when we're dealing with this what is, and we're looking up and saying, this is awful, life is awful. We have a tendency to say, what is wrong with me? Do I not understand the belief system? Do I not do my confidence? Do I not have? Do I not have value? All the way to the fact that maybe God doesn't even love me. This is the devastation that we're seeing now in so many areas of our country. This is the part that's hard to report. This is the part that's talked about very confidentially in some coffee shops between friends who are having a traumatic event. When life doesn't show up the way we want it to. Now, we can complicate this by engaging in fantasy about unrealistic expectations. You know, I'm going to have $1 million in 3 weeks when I join this company. That's not hard to do. I'll be at the top pin level of that company, or I'll break every record that was ever there, and I'm going to have $1 million homes and cars and vacation spots and et cetera, et cetera. We can really complicate it with that, with those kinds of thought processes. So it's unmet, unrealistic, and even sometimes realistic expectations, just unmet expectations. Greatest cause of self-esteem. We don't like life because it's not showing up the way we think it should, and our mind is so attached to the way we think it is, should be, that we can't just be with what is, and then we begin to blame ourselves. If we were something more than this, this would not be happening. Biggest cause. The second was a sensitive one, and that was the underpinnings of trust are somehow fractured, either through something that's happened in our childhood or teenage years or even in adulthood. This is when we've been vulnerable. As a child, we're very vulnerable, and someone older or more powerful has taken advantage of us. Or when we voluntarily surrendered and love someone with all our heart. I talked to a friend recently going through that kind of an experience. Loved with all his heart. And then his wife decided she wanted something different. Oh, what a scary moment. All of a sudden, we don't know who we are. We thought we were a husband and a father, and we had a nice job, and all of a sudden everything's in turmoil. We don't know who we are. We're confused. That, or if it happened when we're young, the very building blocks of childhood are often missing. Building blocks that are essential on which we build our entire lives. And we have to go back as an adult and carefully rebuild those building blocks, something that can be difficult to do and sometimes requiring therapeutic intervention. But that's the second cause. When we have been vulnerable, either as a child or later in life, and our underpinnings of trust have been damaged. Now, you can see this happen in a job situation where someone's worked with a company for 20 or 25 years. It's all they've known. They poured their heart and their soul in that company. They plan on being there the rest of their working years. This is my father. My father had been with the company for decades. And he's in his late 50s. He's got 7 more years, he figures, to work. And the company just about basically goes bankrupt. Aerospace industry was going downhill at the time. And I still remember him waking up one day, because everything in his life revolved around his work. When there was a problem in the world that could not be solved by any other human being, an engineering challenge with their computer systems, he's the one they sent. He spent his whole life handling problems nobody else could solve. And he always did. And all of a sudden he was faced with a problem for which he had no solution. Good income from years of seniority, etc., and all of a sudden, all ripped out from underneath him, a few years premature, not quite ready for retirement. He ended up taking a job that was maybe a third of the price of his salary that he was earning before, because where he was settled, because he traveled around the world, he could leave from anywhere. So, but where he was located at that point, there weren't very many job opportunities. That was devastating to my father. Just devastating. And so many are experiencing those kinds. moments where your hopes and your dreams have been shattered by something? Just know that can be one of the great causes of struggling with self-esteem. And the last of the three most common causes is when there's a big chasm between what we present to the world and our secret self. Because we're sitting here observing these two. Am I this actor on the stage, or am I this despicable person in secret? The truth is we're not either one of them. We're the observer of this. But when we are in secret and then in public and in secret and in public, we can become very confused with who we really are. These are the challenges. The solutions are quite simple. Once we decide we truly want to stop snorkeling in our manure, I hope that doesn't offend anyone. I still remember it. I think I wrote about it in the program about 2 years ago. We're talking about this in the office this afternoon. I was sitting right here at this desk getting ready to go down to Phoenix to speak at a convention. 2,000 people would be there. And I envisioned, mentally rehearsing, me lying on the stage in my new Samuelson suit, snorkeling, as if I were snorkeling in manure. And so I ran into the storage room and got my scuba mask and snorkel and took it with me, got up there on the stage. I wasn't sure I was going to take it up there, but I did. And sure enough, I went ahead and did it. And I made a comment that day as I kneeled up on my knees. I said, if you're snorkeling in manure, you need only get up on your knees. But sometimes we don't want to get up. Sometimes we want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want someone to rescue us. We want someone to acknowledge our pain. And the truth is, the world's so consumed with their own stuff, very few people, if any, care. It is time for us to take this opportunity to rise above the craziness, to get up on our knees, look around, and take the steps to heal. Step number one, instead of dragging this sack behind us, as we'll talk about when we get back to quality number one in the Chicago Dream, I empty that sack of burdens and I engrave it on my heart, and I use those experiences to help me better serve another human being. I start connecting with people. As I connect with people, I'm now congruent with the power that governs abundance, this higher power that I call God. And it starts to awaken something inside of me, my divine nature, my goodness, my genuine concern for another human being. It's in there. No matter how cold or how distant you may have been, when you start to find what's important to another person and verbalizing it and listening for doors and stepping into their world, creating a safe place, as we take these steps, our divine nature begins to wake up. Second, we absolutely commit to use our mind constructively. Not going there today. We start mentally rehearsing. What can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? Inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Exploration. Trying ideas on our mind without making tangible commitments. Problem solving. Let our mind spin on an idea and solution to an idea. And planning and goal setting, where we go into the future. We see clearly where we want and then we work our way back to the present. Every step that's required, and we begin working on the very first step, working toward that vision. When we do this, these three primary things, our self-esteem, can begin to heal. We have affirmations that can assist. You got an opportunity to go and listen to the stillness exercise, the meditation. We began to know ourselves. We began to choose ourselves. And we began to create ourselves. And eventually, give ourselves. That's how we heal our self-esteem. So we use our mind constructively so we don't spend any more time creating expectations. We live fully present in the now, where we say, okay, this is what is. I don't like what is, but this is what is. I'm going to focus on taking the clay I've been given and create the most I can with it. At the end of the day, I'm going to express gratitude for that which has been created. I'm going to do that day after day after day. And 200 days from now, it's going to be so much better than it was when I started. Matter of fact, it's going to be as good as it can be because I will have engaged a power higher than myself. God, be my partner. And when God's your partner, it's going to be as good as it can be. So, there's self-esteem. Well, I'd like to spend the rest of this evening. We're all in varying degrees of situations. I don't think any of us. We just had a two-hour meeting this afternoon with our office. Just getting regrounded in the things that we do best. Regrounded in how to best serve our clients. Where to focus our time and attention. What kind of communication can we give to them to be there and serve them. And one of our favorite events is this one on Tuesday nights. And Chase was sitting there and he said, Dave, you know, we've been talking about this now for the last few days and now for the last 2 hours intently as an entire staff together. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful if tonight we could hear where everyone is at this point so that as we get ready to go back through these qualities again, we can be increasingly prepared to meet your needs. Because this is your coaching session. This is for you. We're doing it in a group, yes, but it's me talking just to you. And when you share where you are, it allows me to work specifically for you. And as you've discovered in the weeks prior, that when you have the courage to speak and we work on something you're thinking about or working on or you share a success, there are many others who needed to hear that because they're either working on the same challenges or they can have their heart opened up as you're talking and they can rejoice with your success and with their successes. So I'd like to open this up. Many of you have now been through all six qualities. I'd like to open this up. Who would like to come out first tonight? We can share an experience you've had applying these principles, a challenge that you're currently facing that you'd like me to explore with you for a few moments. Let's have kind of a wrap-up from the six qualities so that we'll be well prepared for next Tuesday to start with quality number one. Who'd like to jump out first?
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
It's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. You know, all I really wanted to share, it was so funny that it was almost like I was saying it at the same time you were, but this is like, I don't know, my second, third time through the qualities, and you're right, it is like an onion. And so I guess what I wanted to say was just to encourage people, if this is their first time through all six qualities, it just gets better. So to go back to the beginning and start over and just keep doing it, it is like peeling an onion, and the things that are going to come alive to you the second time around or the third time around, it's just amazing to me. So the material is so rich and it's so deep that you're going to just keep gleaning out of it every single time. So that's what I have found in my own experience. So I just wanted to encourage people to think, don't think you're done. You're not.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Two things, Jenny. One, do you remember the first time you and I were coaching together and we started this process?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever have a moment or two of overwhelm?
Absolutely. Like, how am I going to get it all? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we didn't have to get it all the first time.
Mm-mm.
No. And the way we've designed this program is the website you have, when you go to Intentional Creation and you do your member login, this toolkit is yours. When you buy these materials, it's yours. And when you listen to these calls, group coaching sessions, and they're recorded and uploaded on your website, you get to keep coming back to these. You get to go back and listen to the scrolls, go back and listen to each one of the qualities of an intentional creator. You get to listen to the group coaching sessions. These are yours for as long as this website exists. I can't tell you that's going to be for the rest of your life because you never know what's going to happen in life. But it's yours. This is a wonderful place. And you'll notice one other thing that just got added to this website that I just discovered today at the office. This is the genius of Krista from our office. If you go to your tool set tonight and click on, when you first log in, it just takes you right to the tools. Look on the left-hand column. It's like the third item down. Click on My Journal. And when you click on My Journal, I'm waiting for mine to do it. You'll notice that one of the items in the middle column is General. This is the opportunity for you to go right to the journal, click on General, and write something in for today. If you want to just write a breakthrough, any general breakthrough, you could keep track of your life on this. Press Save, and it'll show up right underneath that breakthrough area where you type. And every time you put an entry in your general journal, it'll show up in that section. You could actually keep electronic journal of your life. So if you like typing more than writing in a journal book, this could become your journal. How exciting is that? So yes, come back often, and let's keep going through this process. Don't leave us. Just stay with us, and let's go just a little bit deeper. Jenny, the second thing that hit me was that the scholarship students that are on the line, and Jenny, you've been one of the coaches that was gracious enough to accept the assignment of coaching with two people on a scholarship program, and thank you so very much, and all the other coaches that are on the line with us tonight. One of the things with the scholarship is that when you finish that 8-week process is to continue for the next 10 months. You get 10 more months of participating in this program, cycling through this. You may want to re-engage your coach. Whatever you do, make sure that you come back to... Oops, we got some crackling in the background, it sounds like. Whatever you do, make sure you come back and use these tools and come back to this weekly session. Thank you, Jenny, for sharing.
You're welcome.
And on behalf of all the coaches that have served, thank you so very much for being so gracious with your time. Who'd like to be next?
Dave?
Yes.
Sebastian speaking.
Hi, Sebastian.
How are you?
Very good. How is Canada?
Oh, Canada is good.
Wonderful.
It's spring. So
Manitoba, as I remember, is that right?
Yes, you have a good memory. I'm impressed.
Well, I remember our conversation clearly.
Yes. I have a question, a challenge, kind of.
Okay.
That I've been facing for a couple of years now. This challenge is to find my purpose on this earth. Like, which opportunities I should focus on, or I should plunge ahead and do until success. I'm working here as an engineer, and one option would be to work towards to have a better position. To go up in the company, or I'm starting a direct sale company by nights, so that could be another opportunity. And also, this little town where I'm living is booming, so there's lots of opportunities about new businesses that could start up here. And I'm kind of sometimes I'm kind of confused about all those possibilities. I find hard to try to link my passions, or to find something that will just, or even to find a process just to be able to find what will ignite the fire inside me and I will just get struck by that, and I will realize that that's my passion. I've found it, that I found my purpose in life, and just from there, just do it.
Sebastian, as I remember, you're 32, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. and in this remote area.
Exactly.
With tremendous opportunity.
Yeah.
In quality number 5, there is a section in there. This is finding joy in the journey. There's a section in there in finding your meaning and purpose. Very interesting that sometimes we want something big and grand, and sometimes it's very appropriate to find that eventually. Whenever we find it, we're going to want it to include one thing, and so we start by working on that one thing. And it's the very thing I remember you addressing with me in our last conversation. We're going to want to be masters of connecting with people. Because whether you're working on a better position where you would be working up the ladder and become more of a manager that could manage people, you want to become a master of connection. If you are working in a direct sales company and you're networking and building an organization, oh, number one, you'll want to be a master of connecting with people. If you're looking for opportunity in a town, the best way to find opportunity is to connect with the people and find out what they need that's not being fulfilled. Stepping into their world and discovering the needs, and then with your very creative mind, finding a solution. It all starts with mastering connection with people. If we do this, no matter what we do, we will find this joyful moment when, in partnership with a power greater than ourselves, we actually focus on another human being. We care. We notice them. And then we feel with them. And as we create this safe place, Sebastian, their walls of resistance come down. And their cooperation floods out to us. And we feel really good. It's joyful. And the divine nature inside of us wakes up, and we feel whole and complete. If that's all we did the rest of our lives was say, my why is to connect with people, your life will have been worth living. Now, in the process of doing that, you step back and you go, while I'm here with this job, let me rise to the top. Let me love the people. Now, when you're dealing with a bunch of engineers in Manitoba, you know, warm and fuzzy might not go over well. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. This is a heightened level of awareness. This is being able to really see them, care enough about them to find out where they really are and what you can do to inspire them, to breathe life into them, to encourage them, to add to their heart, to support them in realizing their dreams. That's what great managers do. You may find that you'll rise as you do this within your work, and if all of a sudden it wakes up something inside of you and say, this is my mission, then pursue it with all of your diligence. You'll see it more clearly, the possibilities. Whether or not it becomes your mission, it ought to become a way of life, to create the most you can wherever you are. If you're working a direct sales company, for an example, in the evenings, then while you're there during the day, be the very best human being you can be. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll have more joyful relationships. You'll come home energized to work your business. So the more you pour yourself into what you're doing, actually the less fatigued you'll be at the end of the day. Now your direct sales business, you start networking, and you start building a team, and you start having discussions with them, and you find that you just love this independence, and you get your income up to a place where it can replace your engineering salary, and then you make a conscious decision, maybe I will stop engineering and continue the pursuit of this direct selling company. I like the time freedom. I was on the phone this afternoon. I was thinking about this wonderful couple up in Canada. Just love them to death. Gave them a call just to make sure they're okay. Hadn't talked to them for a few weeks, and they were there babysitting grandchildren. And he was saying, yep, my wife was just cleaning up a diaper and I'm cleaning up the dog's barf. And we both laughed and I said, oh, isn't time freedom wonderful? And we just had a good laugh for a few moments. Yes, if that kind of lifestyle, then you'll start to catch a clearer vision of possibilities. But it'll first come from connecting with people. So, Sebastian, the very thing that you were most concerned about. By the way, your English is getting better.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
I'm less stressed tonight. So.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
So just continue that process everywhere you go, being the very best person you can be, serving by stepping into the world of others, connecting with them. And then your heart will start to tell you which direction to spend your time. If you don't do the first, the second will most likely never happen. Because quite often people are looking for a why, a mission that won't require them to have to learn this skill. It makes them nervous. They're uncomfortable. Oh, God, give me a mission that's so glorious and wonderful and makes me millions and so I don't have to talk to people. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Great people are great connectors. They just are. I hope that helps, Sebastian.
Oh, yes, definitely. Actually, I just have to keep on the work that I've been doing for a while and just put more, all my energy in that, and this will come up naturally. And I believe totally that, so.
Yeah. Just think how much your heart's has awakened in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Isn't it great? Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Who'd like to come out next?
Hi, Dave. It's
me. Oops, the phone just cut out. If everybody could press *6, unless you're on the line, because we've got a phone that's got a bad wire, it sounds like. One more time. Who is it, please?
It's Nicole in Canada.
Oh, Nicole!
How are you?
Well, I looked at my schedule and I said, oh, I get to be with Nicole next week.
I know, I'm very excited. I want to thank Sebastian and you for, Sebastian for his comment and his challenge, because that is exactly what I've been thinking about. And so thank you. I wrote lots of notes from Sebastian's question and then Dave, your comments. So that was wonderful. And I must say, over the last 2 months now, and going through the qualities for the first time and a personal coach for the first time, I have such a different level of awareness. It's unbelievable. So I just want to say thank you, and I'm so looking forward to deepening this.
Well, let's first start by telling me about your experience with Catherine.
Oh, she is so wonderful. I've enjoyed working with Catherine very much, and I said to her last week, I said, you know, it's bittersweet. We're coming to an end, and I'm sad about that, but I'm very happy about all the work that she's given me to do. And she has just been the most patient and has you know, pushed me when I needed to be pushed, and given me great structure, and she's just so wonderful. She's such a wonderful coach, and I say to Chase, I thank him often for putting us together.
She's an amazing human being.
She absolutely is.
Well, Nicole, shall we let the secret out of the bag?
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell everybody what you're going to start next week?
I am going to start working with Dave to be starting my training to become a coach for the new AUG alcohol support recovery group. And this is definitely my meaning, my purpose, my passion. This is something that God has directed me to throughout my life, and the reason that I've gone through what I've gone through in my past is to come to this place and and help others to find some hope in a very deadly disease. And I'm blessed that I've survived it as of today. And I'm just very, I feel very blessed that I've listened to my higher power, and I'm going to take this journey and see if I can help others and give back.
That is so wonderful. And we are so excited. And in June, you're going to be coming to Salt Lake with your husband.
Yes.
And we'll go up to the cabin with four other coaches, and we're going to spend three intense and wonderful days up there. And then the week after, I understand you're going to go to San Antonio with us.
Yes, I'm going to work the booth and volunteer and serve however how I can. So I'm so excited.
Well, it almost makes me want to cry. we have a couple of coaches, and you've been very candid and open about this, who have found their recovery, and it's just wonderful to bring that experience, Nicole. There are things that you can say that I can't. I have watched this happen over and over again, and it's just miraculous. I was just in Sacramento this last week working with one of our coaches on the program, and got to meet three of her sponsees.
Wonderful.
Two of them have been sober for about 13 months and one for 4 years. And what a wonderful thing to see this alive in people's lives. And so thank you. We're so excited to have you a part of this program at this deep of a level. And Nicole, just you may or may not know this. We have about four people right now we're interviewing for the very last spot.
Wow.
In the June class. Just one last spot that's left. And I'm going to take this occasion, if there's anyone on the phone tonight whose heart is pounding and they're saying, this is something I really need to look into, let us know. It's not easy to be selected, and Nicole, you can smile because it's not inexpensive to be trained.
No.
It will be an amazing and priceless journey for those who choose to take this road. So we are so honored that you went through this process and we met you through this. And a giant thank you to Catherine for the work she did as your coach. And I look forward to being with you next week for your first preparatory session for that training.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, thank you, Jenny and Sebastian and Nicole. Who would like to come out next? If your heart's pounding, it's probably you. We're looking for a brave soul.
Hello, Dave. This is Donna.
Donna.
Hi.
I was hoping you would come out.
Well, I guess my ears are still working. You're welcome.
Did you get my response?
I did. I did. Congratulations, Nicole. That's awesome for you being the coach. And, Dave, I just wanted to say thank you, too. I was so worried. You got from my email that I was trying to catch up, and I was thinking that because we were coming to the end, that it would be gone and I wouldn't be able to listen to all of it. So I'm really glad that you're going to leave all the calls up there for me to continue through.
Well, you're a VIP coaching client, so you get to keep coming back.
Cool.
Yeah.
Even on the live calls?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool. Because the other thing
fact,
that you
we need
said
to make sure with Megan tomorrow that and Krista that's all understood. Because you've been going through some very interesting experiences in your life, and it's very important that you get all the way through quality one, through Quality 6 in one non-stop process. And next week we're going to take that on, so be on every Tuesday night.
Okay.
And really, really be prepared to take this on.
Yeah, I'm Miss Resistance to the fullest degree of that you possibly can resist things. And, you know, I signed up with you back last May, mm-hmm. and you started the 52 weeks in June. And I think I listened to one call and just thought, oh, my problems are so intense that there's no way I can do this. I can't. And I stopped listening. And where I went is to the deepest, darkest left side that you can go to. And basically just shut down and let everything collapse around me. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to be around past my birthday in September. But in October, I lifted my head out of the manure just a little bit and said, okay, I'm a little tired of sitting down here. Nobody's coming to rescue me. Nobody's knocking on my door saying, what's happening? Are you okay? And, you know, because I hadn't spent time in my life with anybody building relationships. And started, luckily there was somebody, I'm in the real estate community, somebody in the real estate community that said, hey, if you want to help volunteer, you can come over. So it was something that I could do where I didn't have to try to connect with people. I could just be around people but not have to really connect with them. So I started doing that. They offered me help because they were going to give me money then instead of just volunteering because I had been there for a while. And I was completely offended. I had expectations. I was good. I had helped them change their business. I had made things happen. What the heck were they talking about offering me this starting wage pay? There was no way. And boy, did I don't know what advisors they were, but every single one of them were screaming at the top of their lungs. And I spent weeks crying and screaming and writing emails and books and on and on and on, and the whole time they kept coming back. They just said, just calm down. Just start here. Don't worry about it. We're going to build this business. Stay with us. You're going to be our first employee. You know, just stay here. Stay here. Just come on. Just do this. And I was like, no, I deserve more. I deserve more. And I basically walked away from it. And a couple weeks later, I sitting at home doing nothing, contemplating what the hell is going on. Oh, and by the way, in January, my house received my NOD, notice of default. So still not making any efforts to do anything about that, no action. So this is now just a couple weeks ago, and May 1st, I started looking on the Internet, and I came across your site again, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I even still have a login. And I logged into the site, and I found the coaching calls there, because at first, I guess, they didn't come up until week 5, so the first couple, I think I looked like the week or two afterwards so I could go back and listen to them, but they weren't there, and I'm like, oh, forget it, this ain't gonna work. And so I just didn't do it. So I had been spending the last couple weeks starting to go through and catch up and listening to them, and about a week later, I sent these people an email that said, I miss working with you. I liked working with you. But that's all I said because it's like, well, my ego's intact. They're going to have to come back to me saying, yes, we need you. Okay, let's talk again. Let's talk. You know, come back. We really need you. That's what I wanted them to say, you know. But I kept listening to your calls, and they just sent me an email back, oh, it was wonderful working with you, too, you know, when you worked here, and I hope you're doing well. And I'm like, okay, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted something more than that. That's not what I wanted. And I kept listening to your calls, and two main things came up from what I've listened to so far, and one, of course, is the unmet expectations, and the second one was exploration. So on the unmet expectations, another week goes by, and I send them an email, and this time this email says, you know, I know how hard you guys work, and I know how much you build the business, and even though I think I contributed, it's nothing near what you guys have contributed to your business and where you're at. And more than anything, you know, I just totally put my foot in my mouth and said things that I wish I could take back. And I just, more than anything, want to work with you. I love working with you, and I want to be there. And I put in the sentence, and this is a hard thing for me to write, whatever it takes, I would like to work with you again, please. So that whole day, I started freaking out. I started going into the, oh my God, do I have to explain? Do I have to,
a little catastrophe?
And I stopped because, again, because I had listened to a couple of calls that talked about that, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to give them, because I'm almost 49 now, and I have zero trust in human nature. And this was the first time that I stopped and I just said, don't expect anything. Just let reality be what it is. Trust that they do care about you because they've been friends of mine for a while. And just let whatever happens, don't freak out about it. Just let it go for now. They'll get back. They're going to call you. They're going to email you. They'll get back to you. They're not going to ignore you. And then, sure enough, the next morning they called, and we talked just a little bit, and I just, you know, and it was, I was in a so different place. You know, I was just like, I'm humble, I'm here, I'm just open, because I wrote that sentence. And so guess what they have to say? They have to say, you did say whatever it takes, didn't you? I couldn't even respond to it, but I didn't respond negative or positive. I just kind of shut up. And then they told me that they hired somebody. They already put somebody else in the position. They actually hired two people. And they said, you know where we're at. You know we want to build this business, and we want to continue to build this business, and we do want you to work with us. We can't hire you or pay you now, but you're more than welcome to come back and work with us and volunteer. And we're moving as fast as we can to the position where we can get an office and we can have more people working for us. And we absolutely want you to be the next person that we can bring on as and to be able to pay. So just, you know, hang in there and, yes, come back. But when they said those words, whatever it takes, I had to, like, just let go. And, again, it wasn't what I wanted to hear. It wasn't where I wanted it to be. But I just said, okay, this is where it's at. And then life throws me another curveball. This is on Thursday or Friday last week. Saturday morning, I get a knock on the door. And a man standing there, and I was getting ready to leave to go meet some friends to do an afternoon. And he says, I'm just letting you know I wanted to have a talk with you to find out. I just bought your house yesterday at the trustee sale, and I need to talk to you about when you can move out. And I just went, looked at him, and I went, excuse me? Now, before listening to your tapes, I would have just totally freaked out, and I would have been, I don't know what I would have been, but I would not have been anything but either a quivering mess on the floor or yelling and screaming or furious or red-faced or whatever. But again, it was like, okay, here's reality hitting me in the face. You know, you knew where it was coming. You had put yourself in this position. It's not something that you didn't expect, but I did expect to get the notice of trustee sale, which would have given me the 21 days to finally get my butt in gear and actually do something, to do something about it, whatever way I would go with it. So he luckily was a very nice man, and I told him that I didn't get the notice and that I'd go to the courthouse because I didn't even think that they'd really filed it at the courthouse because I didn't see the stamp. So Monday morning I go to the courthouse. I find out that, yes, they did file both of them, but I still did not get notified. So I called the bank, called the attorney at the bank, talked to them, finally got through to them in the late afternoon, and told them, you know, I believe that this is an illegal sale. You couldn't take my house to sale because you never posted, you never gave me the 21 days to still act on it. You never gave me that notification. And I knew that it was coming, and I was waiting for it, but I never saw it. So he said, let me check into it. So again, here was my point of being able to go into total catastrophe and totally be a blithering mess the entire night and not be able to sleep or do anything. But luckily I had listened to your stuff, and it's hard for me to, you know, I'm barely being able to come up and do that and not be down. So it was like in between here trying to listen to it, and then it was like, okay, it's too much. I'm not that strong yet. So, yeah, I was kind of going between, but I haven't spent what I would normally, in any other situation in all my years, I would have been such a mess that my eyes wouldn't have been able to open. And instead, I just said, okay, I can't do anything on Monday morning. So the thing I was going to on Saturday, I canceled it when I found this guy, you know, I talked to him. But then I called him back and I said, I'm coming anyway. So I went for a couple hours and just got out of the house. And then Sunday, I just kind of, all right, what do you need to do first thing Monday morning? What actions do you need to take? Listen to my scrolls, all three scrolls that day. And Monday morning, like I said, went to the court, talked to the lawyer. Then yesterday, or actually this morning, because today's Tuesday, I get a call back from the bank's attorney. And I called the guy yesterday, too, and I said, oh, yes, they did file, but I still didn't get a notice. So I still am waiting for the attorney, and I've contacted another attorney to find out what to do. And he goes, okay, well, just, you know, let me know what's going on. And this morning the bank called and said they are unwinding the sale or reversing the sale because they and they're going to repost the notice of trustee and restart that part of the process. So it's not from the very, very beginning, but it's about halfway in or three-quarters of the way in. So I have another 35 or 45 days to take action. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm scared to death. But I'm a whole different place than I think I would have been here. And I really wish that I would have been smart enough to start listening to you back in June, because if I had done that, where would I be today? It would be so much better.
Thank you for coming out tonight, because there are so many on this call who are in varying degrees of pain, certain circumstances, who have some of the risks, and they may in fact be someone who could say, wow, I really need to take this seriously starting tonight. I don't want to wait till then. And for you, Donna, you know that you've got 30 to 40 days to get that income stream coming from a job, and you know you've got capacities. And you can
I'm in a great position with the company, the real estate company, because I'm already in a position of a money-making position, and all I have to do is talk to people, you know, and get enough people to see, and as soon as somebody starts buying, I immediately start making a lot of money. But that's been the hardest thing, is that every day I look at the phone and say I'm going to do it, and every day I to connect to somebody.
Oh. One of the beautiful things, and we could ask Nicole to come back out and work with us for a moment. Nicole, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
As you're working with those that have been struggling with alcohol abuse, mm-hmm. What's the blessing of finally hitting bottom?
For me, it was surrendering to something higher than myself, and having some willingness and some faith that as long as I did my part, that my higher power, who I call God, would do his part.
And did he?
Absolutely, he did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question.
Don, it's interesting to me, as I've been studying in that particular field, that it's not unlike, there's a lot of other issues at play, allergies of the body and obsessions of the mind and things that alcohol can do to people. But in terms of life itself, we get to the point where we finally hit bottom. And it's really a great gift, because it'll cause us to finally let go. So if I may ask you to consider a couple of things this week, I'd like you to go into, in preparation for next week, connecting with people, and go to the section when you go to the six qualities, click on that, then click on connecting with people, go down to partnership and click on partnership and listen to partnership. One of the very last assignments in partnership is to write a letter to that higher power and have a conversation about all the reasons why, whatever life circumstances have occurred that have caused you to move away from that power. What caused you to get angry and frustrated and disappointed, where instead of surrendering to and trusting that power, we can become so frustrated that we try to do it on our own? And most of us who try to do it on our own kind of mess things up. So go spend some time in that area and see if you can find, and see if you can't, for just a little bit this week occasionally, begin the surrender, that process of surrendering to a power greater than yourself. Now, that power doesn't drive parked cars. That's what someone said to me. It doesn't drive parked cars. We have to be in action, which require us to be focusing on other people, which will drive your business that you're in. Being able to use your mind constructively, not going there today. Being in passion-driven action so that power can put people on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. And over the course of the next 8 or 9 weeks as we go through this process, we'll be deep into those by the time you've got some decisions to finalize in terms of where you're going to live. But you can start to find the peace in your heart. And I was interviewing a lady when I was in Sacramento, and she was talking about this moment in time where she said, my life was unmanageable. I was honest with myself. And my honesty wasn't a cash register honesty. I thought that was an interesting comment. This is an honesty about whether you'd rip somebody off for money. This is just a dead honesty with yourself that your life is out of control and unmanageable. And then two, truly believing that there is a power greater than yourself. Come to believe is actually the way it's said. We come to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity, and then willingly submitting ourselves to that power. And the greatest way to do that is to start focusing on other people and stepping into their world and seeking inspiration of how you can serve someone. You said earlier on that you've been living a life where you haven't spent a lot of time connecting with people. Ah, what a great place. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Get that inspired idea who that is. Call them. Serve them. Donna, you are that person today for me. I had a schedule that could kill a horse. I got your email and it started off with, this may be really long, you may want to skip just to the end. And I thought, I don't have time to read this.
I know, because I know you always say your Tuesday was so packed, and I thought, oh, he's not going to have the time to read anything.
Well,
but I wanted him to know that you changed. It changed me. You changed me.
Well, I want you to know that I was sitting right here in this chair this morning. I was running an hour behind when your email came. And the office would tell you, I didn't get there when I told them I would, and the reason why I didn't was I was told to read your email. Now, what that means, Donna, is that power knows your name. I know it knows your name. I had a really sweet moment. My heart went out to you, had a prayer for you, had some inspiration of what I could share with you at that moment, ask you to come tonight, and then you came out. It's so exciting to talk to all of us and share this, which is so important for so many to hear right now. Just know tonight as you go to sleep, and all the craziness and all the fear and anxiety that can be around all of this, which you've been handling really well the last few days, wow, God knows your name. God knows your name. Nothing else needs to happen in terms of source of peace. You just know that. So if he knows your name, then willingly submit to that power and begin the process of rebuilding. It won't happen overnight, and all the problems won't be solved in 45 days. But there'll be more of them solved than if we don't do it. And it'll be as good as it can be 45 days from now. You said you read all the scrolls today. How cool. And yesterday, do that again tomorrow. Scroll 2. That's the one we're going to start in preparation for next week. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. And begin listening to those sections on connecting with people. Walls of resistance, empathy, intuition. And when you get to empathy, intuition, Donna, and you say, oh my goodness, I have been dragging around so much in my sack. So much in my sack. And when you realize how many other people are right where you were, you might only be a week ahead of them, but right where you were last year when you were just closing the world off, shut down, just overwhelmed, paralyzed. How many people are in that position right now? And your heart will just start singing because you now know what it feels like. You now know what it feels like to experience the dark night. If you've never experienced it, it's hard to reach your hand down and lift another up. But as you reach down to lift them up now, knowing where they really are, as Kevin Hall says, when you lift another, you can't help but lift yourself. So, you've got experience that is extremely valuable. I would never, ever again say, I wish I had. Well, yeah, but you can't. This is the statement. It comes out of our material. You've read it. It's in Kevin Hall's book, Aspire. I think I've got a copy of it right here. I do. I'm going to close with this tonight. If anybody wants to go to this part of Aspire, it's on, let's see here, page 164. It says, speaking of empathy, Ogmandina writes, with love, I will tear down the walls of suspicion and hate which they have built round their hearts, and in its place I will build bridges so that my love, that's your agape love, that's your empathy, that's all your life experience, may enter their souls. So Donna, in the next few days, someone's going to say, oh, finally someone knows where I am, because you do know. Goes on to say, Dave Blanchard, CEO of the Ogmandino Group, continues, our character has been forged in the furnace of adversity. You have been in one hell of a hot fire. We know what pain feels like, and you know. We cannot change the past. We can't go back 6 months. However, we can choose to use these reference points as a rich resource to better understand, connect, lift, and build others. When we use our life experiences in the service of others, we will finally find purpose in our suffering, joy in our journey, and much-needed healing in our souls. So everyone, Jenny, thank you. Sebastian, thank you. Nicole, oh, so excited to have you join us in the coaching ranks. And Donna, bless your heart for being so brave to come out tonight and just lay it out before us. And it's so exciting that corner's been turned. Find that God again in your life. He knows your name. I know he does. I experienced it this very day. And you're going to find great strength in that relationship as you focus on lifting and blessing the lives of others. And for all of us, let us turn to scroll 2 this week, 3 times a day, faithfully, faithfully. This isn't to just give us one more thing to do. This is so we do what we want to do even better, so we're prepared for it. And then start studying in preparation, connecting with people, walls of resistance, empathy, intuition, and the first three principles of intrinsic validation. And next week, we will take these on and dive even deeper into this concept of truly focusing and seeing and noticing and connecting with other human beings. Such a rich and wonderful thing, and as Sebastian, you and I discussed, really the heart and soul of finding our purpose on this earth. Well, everybody, thank you for a wonderful night and for all of your sharing, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.